And one of the students involved with this is Julian Ellis-Brown, who's my guest on the programme now. Julian, morning.
Hello, good morning.
In what way are you looking into the future? What are you imagining?
So there's 40 postgraduate students who have been part of this process, and myself and my team, made up of Hanson Cheng, Joe Zhao and Deepak Malia, have been looking at how in the future we might look to be using biological systems instead of electromechanical ones in our sort of flight of the future.
Yes. That's a very good project to give in it. How far down the track, what are you imagining as a result of the work you've done so far?
So we started off by looking at various sort of trends in technology today, so that such as a house in Hamburg, which is being completely powered by algae, all of its electrical and heating requirements, and other sort of progressions in synthetic biology, where they've been able to extract chloroplasts from cells to have them work in inorganic sort of forms. And so what this sort of all accumulated to for us was this, we're imagining a sort of a new fuselage, a new cabin skin, this performative skin. And to give a sort of image of it, it kind of looks like you'd be sat in the middle of a cell when you're inside the plane. You have these sort of green pods around you, which are these chloroplasts. And what they'll do is they'll photosynthesize, which will be able to offset some of the plane's energy requirements. And in addition to that, of course, part of the process of photosynthesis is they'll be able to take in the carbon dioxide that us passengers inside the plane will be exhaling, and provide oxygen back into the cabin, which removes the need for a heavy air conditioning system as well.
And that works at scale, does it? I can understand the concept, but if you scale it up to the number of people involved, does it work on a sort of 30-seater plane? Does it work on a 300-seater plane?
So you're absolutely right. So scalability is probably the biggest limiter for this becoming a reality tomorrow. At the moment, these are technologies which are sort of just starting to come out of labs at the moment and move into domestic uses and stuff like buildings. But to move them into the skies will be a few more sort of iterations of design down at the moment.
Just to pick on one thing, just to help me with the chemistry here. I mean, the photosynthesis you talked about, does that work inside a container in the cold? We're up at 35,000 feet. It's probably, what, minus 18 or something outside? Does photosynthesis still work under those conditions? Does it still work under those conditions?
So what happens is that, well, scientists have been able to extract chloroplasts from the cell. And so it's not about keeping the cell alive anymore. These are sort of inorganic forms of photosynthesis. But you're absolutely right. Like, temperature is an issue. And so we've been looking at various aerogels, which are very lightweight and have fantastic thermal resisting properties. And so which would be able to sort of protect the outer layer of this too.
You might be able to achieve some of the benefits you mentioned. Would you see this as a personalized cell then, that you'd put each human being in this environment with an element of regeneration, or is it a communal space you're envisaging at this stage?
So it's a communal space. We would be looking to replace the sort of the current cabin sort of walls, as it were.
Right.
With this sort of matrix of what's called a generative structure, which sort of looks like bones growing, which allows your structure to be a lot more lightweight, but sustain its strength. And it also allows us to place these pods within this sort of matrix structure, which makes up the cabin.
And is it simplistic to say, because you're sort of growing these structures, are they reasonably... it's not cost prohibitive. They don't cost a fortune to create them.
So at the moment, the sort of manufacture of planes is very sort of assembly line based. But as we're looking to have more and more control and personalization in the future, more sort of additive manufacturing and 3D printing techniques will start to take over, which are quite expensive at the moment. But the industry is growing at such a rapid rate that these are going to start becoming
at scale. It'll become more affordable, won't it? I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have
And you've called this. This particular project is called Aerium, right?
So our particular project, as part of this British Airways Future Flight, is called Aerium. Yeah.
Right.
And it's part of this exhibition, which is currently on at the Saatchi Gallery.
In collaborations London. With the Royal College. You're doing it with the Royal College of Art, aren't you? So it's a fascinating area of work, and it's great that so many young minds are being given the freedom to think those things. I mean, your skill surely has to be, you mustn't be constrained by what we've got now. You really have got to take a flight of the imagination. That's part of what you bring to the project, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's actually, and it can be a very challenging thing to do, to not let your current environment influence you, and really look to the future and think about what new concepts might be possible. And so there are other concepts within the exhibition are like 3D printed food on plane, which analyzes your sort of nutritional requirements from before you get on. And so you have your sort of perfect meal 3D printed for you, which allows you to land feeling healthy and sort of replenished.
You can't go back and ask for more, as Oliver did. No. The computer says no. It's great.
Exactly.
It's fascinating work, Julian. We wish you and the team all the very best. And thanks for sharing some of it with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, the exhibition is open till next Monday, so this is the last weekend to do it. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Julian Ellis-Brown, that was, from the Aerium Project, as part of the whole celebration of BA's 100 years, and clearly looking 100 years plus into the future too.
BBC Radio Berkshire. How will you trust? Every 15 minutes and as it happens.
Quarter to 10 now.